United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credit.
Kim Baker resigned.
Music and me. I was a little late getting in here to plug the show in, and so you guys are stuck with me. Sorry about that. I have Benita with me.
Belinda. Mm-hmm.
Belinda. I got the last name. Nice. What do you want? You can't have both.
Yeah, the last name was difficult. I'm impressed.
Belinda Nice Wonger.
Yes.
Ha-ha. Got it right. And she's with me today, and she is the case management supervisor or director?
Director of community support.
Oh, director of community support.
Yes.
Tell me, what does that do? What does the director of community support do? What is that all about?
Well,
I didn't know that.
Well, I am the one who all the information funnels into. And by all the information, that would be referrals. other professionals and organizations who decide that they would like to make a referral to Turning Point for Case Management, and then I will go over the referral form and then assign it to a case manager. And I guess as far as my other duties as assigned, you know, if they have in a description of position. Oh, my goodness, Tracy, you ask me, and, okay, what do I do? It seems like I just go in, you know, I go in the office, and whatever's on my desk, I take care of. People call up, Belinda, can you do this? Yeah, I'll do that. So I'm sitting here sort of blank. It's like, well, what do I do? I'm busy all day, but what do I do? But, yeah, talking about the – I know you had asked me before we went on break, Tracy, as to what – an individual who's receiving case management.
Right.
What can that individual do to assist the case manager?
Yeah, I need to know that.
In the process.
Because I don't know that.
Okay. Number one, hopefully the individual's going to be real with us in regards to their mental illness. As you know, there's still a stigma out there. Even people who have mental illness and they're with a mental health professional do not want to discuss the symptoms that they may be having. But it is so important for the individual to talk with their case manager about what's going on inside them, how they're feeling, what they're thinking. You know, are they hearing voices? Are they seeing things that maybe other people aren't seeing? You're feeling depressed. Tell me what that means. We need that individual to verbalize their feelings. And sometimes the case manager has to ask the correct questions also, because sometimes people don't know that it's okay to talk about what they're feeling, what they're thinking, what their beliefs are without somebody judging them. And it's important for us to know this also to get a good idea as to, you know, are they on the right medication regimen? If they're still complaining of, you know, they're still seeing shadows out of the side of their eye, maybe the medication isn't right, and that's something that the case manager can go to the prescriber and discuss that with them. So
now, are you a liaison between myself and the case manager?
Oh, definitely.
Are you really, I mean, how does that work? How does it work between me, my clinician or my counselor,
mm-hmm.
and you? How does that cookie crumble?
As the supervisor?
Yeah.
What's my role?
Or your supervisor, or even for a case manager. How do you guys work together? How's this? I know as a supervisor, I know you're making sure that we're compliant.
Mm-hmm.
I know that you're making sure that Turning Point. And everything is everybody's doing their job, all the files are right, all the stuff is done, all the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed, all the community information that's out there is resourced so that they have access to it. You're doing a lot of that, or making sure that it's done.
Yes. Yes.
But how does this cycle work with my case manager, with my counselor, and with me and my family, and my parole officer or my physician? How does all that work?
It's about communication. That is, I think, the most important thing. We talk about that all the time, that we have to be in communication with all the parties involved with the individual. And it's so important to keep the therapist up on what that individual is telling you as a case manager. You know, send an email off. We do a lot of email at Turning Point. You know, send an email off and let the therapist know what's going on as far as in their life, if they're having relationship problems with a brother, sister.
How do you know I have a relationship problem with my brother or sister?
Well, hopefully that's something that you have felt free enough to talk to the case manager about. You know, perhaps you were living with your brother or sister, and, you know, living with relatives or living with anybody else can cause problems. So communication, I think, is the key here. As far as say if there's a probation officer involved, the case manager's role is to talk to the probation officer, find out, okay, what is going on here with this person? Has the court stated that this individual needs to do while they're on probation? We can sort of remind the individual, okay, you know you're on probation, you know you have to meet with your probation officer on this time. So it's about communicating with all the people who are involved with that individual. We can do that by phone. We can, and what would be the ideal thing would be to have the person sitting who's receiving the case management right there with you and say, okay, I want you to call your probation officer. If you get stuck, you know, I'll help you remind you what you need to talk about. If there's relationship problems and the person has a therapist, then the case manager can always go in to that appointment for the first maybe 10, 15 minutes to help with this.
You know what I really didn't realize? I did not realize you guys were on the road. And you guys were all, I honestly had no idea that you guys were so mobile and so much out in the community. I did not know that. I thought you guys sat inside of Turning Point. Everybody came in. You went through my program and then sent me home.
Oh, see, now I guess I take that for granted. And thank you for illuminating that for me, because it's like, yeah, case management, you know, we're mobile. We go to where the individual is. We meet you where you're at. And I think that's the beauty of case management, where we see a need. We know where that person's need can be met. And if that person needs us to accompany them, then we can do that.
So it's not a 9-to-5.
Well, we do that within a specified amount of hours.
Yeah, but still,
mm-hmm.
I mean, specified amount of hours, but that's still.
Well, and sometimes our case managers, you know, they work over. You know, when 5 o'clock comes, they're not going to say, oh, sorry, we're here at, you know, Social Security, got to go. No, you know, we're going to stay there with that person until that task is completed.
How does it help me with my mental health? Because the Turning Point is a special. People don't realize Turning Point Counseling, which is located, there's one in Sebring, one in Struthers, and one in downtown Youngstown, or on the north side of Youngstown. And Turning Point Counseling is a gym in the community for people who need help with mental illness. And as you know, that we've talked about this in the past with Dr. Brandy, mental illness, as with any other disease, is a disease. And some things can be curable, some things can be maintained, and some things are manageable.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to have open and honest communication. And Turning Point puts together programs and puts together means to make sure that you have success at any income level.
Exactly.
And so, and those of us who are more low, or those of us who are lower on the income scale, sometimes need more services because of the stresses that come with limited resources.
You're exactly right, Tracy. That is absolutely right. And one of the things that Turning Point has for individuals who do have mental illness, we have a vast array of, there's groups that individuals can become involved in. We have services that assist people with their medication. There is the crisis unit.
Absolutely.
You know, if an individual finds themselves that, you know, life just seems too much and they're not quite to the point of having to be hospitalized, you know, they can come to the crisis unit. Turning Point just has an array of services that are designed to help individuals with symptoms that they're experiencing from mental illness. And hopefully that individual at some point will get some insight. You know, a lot of times when you're down in that hole, you know, you hear
this, dark hole.
When you're down in that hole, you can't focus. You don't know what your needs are. And that is where the professionals at Turning Point, whether it be case management, whether it be a therapist, whether it be one of the nurse practitioners, psychiatrists, are going to be able to assist you as far as, okay, let's try this medication, let's try this. And if you have to stay in the CSU for a while until we can see how that medication is going to assist you, if this is part of what's going to be your medication regimen, then, you know, we're able to house that individual.
And you guys do. And do it very, very successfully if you've worked the program.
If you work the program.
If you work the program. And I know that as a case manager, I'm cheating now because you guys actually you actually do a lot of programming and a lot of wraparound services for a lot of people. And because and very, very efficient at it. And I'm a believer that it'll work if you'll work it.
Yes. And if, you know, I wish I had a magic wand or some fairy dust or whatever to put on people so that who are right inside of their mental illness and they don't have the insight, they're thinking that everybody's against them, you know, nothing's up. I wish I had some way, Tracy, of just helping that individual know that, you know what, we're here to help you, just give it a try. But
you know what people don't realize, and Dr. Brandy and I have talked about this several times, a lot of us go through periods. Some stay longer than others. But none of us are exempt from anything. You never know what it'll take you to crack or to break. And so don't think that you're the only one.
That's
that no one understands. Some of the brightest people that have ever lived have gone through things that they didn't have a diagnosis for, but had been mental illnesses.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing wrong. You just need to reach out and say, you know what, I need help. I'm having a problem, and I don't know how to get through it. And put your pride down.
Yes, I think that is an important thing that people need to do is to sort of let go. Don't think that, I'm the only one going through this. Nobody's going to understand. And, you know, I'm from Columbiana County originally, which is sort of an Appalachian culture, and those people tend to – I hate using word that – those
well,
people.
We're down. That's right, because, you know, I just want you to know that our signal comes out of Salem. So
Don't
talk about those people because those are my people.
Well, and they're my people too.
Those are my people, and don't talk about my people down there in Columbiana County.
But you know, they're proud people also, and
right.
I think that has –
has a lot to do with it.
It does. It has a lot to do
but
with it.
But we've allowed people and media and bad information and misinformation to put a stigma on mental health. And case management of your mental health is essential to your success.
I believe that, yes. I think that that is an important component of recovery. Because if you have a person who is able to model behavior that will help you be successful out in the community. If you have an individual who's going to be alongside of you for a period of time, who's going to advocate for you out in the community, and you're right there beside them.
And it's a partner.
It's
a partnership. It's a limited partnership for a span of time so that until I get on my feet. Sometimes when you're going through, if you're a single mother with children,
mm-hmm.
and you have three or four children, and you're having some mental illness, you don't want to give your children up, but there's some things that you're going to need assistance with while you're progressing.
Yes, yes, and a lot of times children's services are involved, or that's when we have relatives,
yes.
where there's a relative placement, relatives are involved, but yes, that mama just needs...
And that case manager actually helps you navigate the mom, the sister, the food, or the daycare, or the after-school program, the bill pay, something, things that help you through the process.
Right. You think about all the things in your life that you do on a daily basis, and then just imagine, Tracy, if for some reason you weren't able to do this because you can't focus on what you need to do.
And I think we take that for granted. And those of us, if you're honest with yourself, there are times in your life, you may not have stayed there long, but there's been times where everything was so out of control, there was nothing you could focus on anywhere.
Right. And, you know, for a lot of us, our family will take that
correct.
Up for us.
Or you pass through it long enough. But there are some people that stay there too long.
Yes.
And they're the ones who really need assistance.
Yes.
And we need to be compassionate on them. And case management and even a turning point helps you with that gap.
I believe so, yes. I wouldn't be here if I didn't believe that. You know, that's what we do.
And that's important. That's really, really important. And I appreciate what you guys do there at Turning Point. You guys know that I'm passionate about mental health. And I find it to be something that everyone should take advantage of.
Yes.
Everyone needs to see a counselor at some time, or another in their life.
Yes, and it's not, you know what, I look at people and say, oh, no, I'm not going to tell anybody my problems. But you know what, it's a strength. It's not a weakness. It's not, it doesn't make you any less of a person. You know, you would talk to, if you have a friend or a mother or a significant other and you're able to talk things out, that's great. But you're only getting their perspective. When you come to a professional, you're going to get different perspectives, different ways to look at those situations in your life. And, you know, sometimes we need that.
And it's and what I find is it makes it very, very healthy for us. You know, talking to my mom, I'm going to get – my mother has my back.
Mm-hmm.
But she's not going to give me an objective view that is not emotionally tied to it. She's going to give me the mom view. And sometimes you need someone who is not vested in what you're talking about to hear you and then speak back to you. And as Dr. Brandy would say, not to do it for you, but to bring it out of you so that you do it for yourself.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Hey, Alabama, your mic is on.
What's up?
What's going on, darling?
I've just been studying some stuff, some investment stuff. But you heard about that guy that you got to guess, so I'll go there later. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
I'm just listening.
Thanks. You were going to change the subject, right? You
tell me
you were going to change the subject. Go ahead. You
were
going to change the subject, weren't you?
No, I
health
I,
and
I,
wellness.
I think it's
but hold on. Don't change the subject. Hold up. Sit down and listen. But your mic is somewhat on, so if you got something to say about case management and health and wellness, chime in. If not, you know,
that's what I was about to say before you cut me off. I was about to say that how does guests feel about a lot of these people that in these shootings that are on these psychotropics and stuff that kind of, you know, I feel like, well, how do they feel about that? Because it's kind of, it's spiked up. I don't know. I think it's down, mass shootings are, but nationally, but it seems like every other week we hear something in the media about somebody grabbing a gun and going doing something. So, and I actually heard that you're either going to have the percentage is kind of high, and then you're either going to have a bad reaction, like you're going to be ultra depressed, or you're going to turn violent. A lot of them are like that.
Well, you know, Alabama, when you say a lot of them are like that, are you referring to people with mental illness? Who are you referring to as them, or people who?
No. I'm not talking about the people. Okay. What I'm saying is, like, say my sister actually struggles with depression, right?
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't
mm-hmm.
take anything. She doesn't take anything. She's just, you know, been in the church, what they call nuthetic counseling, and done some things, and it's worked. You know, but there's a such thing as chemical issues within the brain. I do believe in that.
Exactly.
So I think they have a place, but, you know, my thing is I don't trust these pharmaceuticals. It's just for other reasons, too. But I'm not trying to get into politics or anything, but I don't trust a lot of these pharmaceutical companies because I don't think they really, you know, have our best interest. You know, they'll pass a drug, and then 6 months later, hey, have you been by this drug? Call this lawyer. We got a class action suit going. You know, that happens all the time. Like, the FDA is not protecting us, so it's kind of like we don't really have that.
Well, I hear what you're saying, Alabama, but, you know, consider this, too. Medicine has done some wonderful things for us throughout the ages, you know, throughout the years. Think about penicillin. What if someone would have had the attitude of, well, you know, we've never tried this before. I don't know that if we're going to try this. And they tried it, and look what's happened. It sort of changed everything, infections. Now, as far as mental
I wasn't
illness,
saying no medicine at all, though. I wasn't saying medicine.
Mm-hmm.
There's all types of
psychotropic medications.
Well, not just that, but just in general, pharmaceutical companies don't have a great track record. They don't. I mean, and people that come from the FDA get jobs at these same companies, and pass these drugs through the FDA, mm-hmm. and they're dangerous. It happens all the time. So I was just wondering what you thought of that, because it does. I mean, it happens there. I mean, I can't cut my TV on now without seeing three commercials per break, basically mm-hmm. talking about some drug killing people.
Alabama, they ain't killing folks. You know, the lawyer's just trying to make money.
Well, okay,
hold
so,
on.
I mean, these suits ain't just coming out the air, out of thin air. I just, you know, that's just me.
Well, and you're allowed to your opinion, but I am thankful that we have these medications in place because it has helped many,
countless
numerous people.
Because yeah. You have to realize, I mean, there are people that would have been institutionalized had it not been for some of the medications that they take.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Trace, I'm not being hot and cold. I'm not. There are grades to things. I'm not saying all medications are bad. That's a straw man argument. I wasn't trying to say that. I was just saying that we have some discrepancies with these companies in the FDA. We do.
Well, we do. I mean, that's with anything. Hold on. Local call, your mic is on.
Hey, how you doing, Tracy?
Good, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. I would like to ask the doctor a question.
She's not a doctor, but go ahead.
Is she something like a psychiatrist or a therapist or something like that?
No, she is a case management director at Turning Point Counseling.
I'm a licensed independent social worker.
So it would be for mental health.
Yes, that's correct.
That's right.
Okay, I want to ask you a question. What would be a normal reaction if you have, and then this is just an open question, if you have a bunch of people that just constantly taunting at you every day? I mean, they're taunting at you for something that's abnormal, and you get angry about it, and in return for that, they then turn around and tell you that you got an anger problem. Now, I've been taught that if people taunt at you, because my mother was a therapist, that it's a normal reaction for you to get angry and to get upset, you know, not to the point where you want to kill anyone, but to the point where you want to really get mad and tell them off. You know, so you're the doctor.
Has your anger ever gotten you in trouble with anybody?
No, it's never gotten me into trouble, but I have gotten very angry about it because it is due to a wide jealous problem, you know what I'm saying? And in the manner in which I'm being tainted at is very unusual, you know what I'm saying? It's very unusual because I have tried to tell people my side of the story, and instead of them accepting my side of the story, they more or less tried to make it out of what they wanted it to be. And as a result of them making it out what they wanted it to be, it's constantly ruining my life, and it has been going on for numerous amount of years, and as a result of their jealousy, they're taunting me derogatorily. You know what I'm saying? So my response for that from that was to stop talking to people. You know, I don't deal with too many people because instead of them listening to me telling my version of how I want it to be, they're making this out to be what they want it to be, and it's basically it's wrecking my life. You know
well, have you ever thought about talking to someone who could give you a different perspective?
Well, what I did was the people that were listening, the people that were talking derogatorily about this issue, what I did was I tried to contact them to have a direct conversation. In return for that, these people did not want to have a direct conversation because they wanted to keep it derogatorily because that's all included in them making it out to be what they wanted it to be instead of what I wanted to be. And as a result of that, it's wrecking my life. So not only am I being tainted that, but financially, you know, I'm being ruined. But I have never got to the point where I have assaulted anybody or
well, that's a good thing. That's a good thing.
You know,
and listen, let me say this. And if you ever need to talk to somebody, go down to Turning Point Counseling over on Belmont. Make an appointment. Walk in. You'll be surprised that they'll let you talk, and it'll help you woo saw.
Can I finish talking to
you? No, because I got to take a break. I'm at the end of my day. I got to go to the next segment. I love you, though.
Okay, we see. All right.
All right. Hey, listen, I want to thank Turning Point Counseling for partnering with us. I want to thank you for coming in and hanging out with us today. Will you come back again?
Oh, yeah.
Brandy does not have to be on maternity leave for you to come in.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You're always welcome, and thank you. Listen, when we come back, we're going to have Doris and John Bullock from Fit Family. They're going to be helping, you know, we're going to talk about exercise. And they're going to tell you how great I'm doing in exercising and getting it done, making it happen. I'm there like 5 days a week. That's what they're going to tell you because it works. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. We'll be right back.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren, the home for afternoons with Tracy and Friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
The latest from ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Within the hour, President Obama announcing that those that have lost their health coverage under Obamacare can now keep that coverage for up to a year. The president said details would be coordinated with the states.
State insurance commissioners still have the power to decide what plans can and can't be sold in their states, but the bottom line is insurers can
Well, she muted the mics. I didn't even get to ask the lady no questions.
Boy, that was a chess move. That was extending that thing for a year. That's an election year, too. That was a chess move. That was slick. I got to get it.
He already said that he would do that last week.
It's a chess move. I mean, it's slick. I mean, it is.
No, that's stupid.
Because people ain't going to be upset. Now, they're like, okay, well, I still got my insurance for you. You know how Americans are. They're short-term. They don't care about it. They don't get upset to probably around about December. They got 30 days left. We're going to wait to the last minute. It's about to lapse. Then people are going to get upset again right now because they would have been upset last year around this time. But they weren't thinking about it. But first of all, they didn't know. But I'm just saying, that's just slick. That's a chess move. As soon as it comes back up next year, a lot of folks are going to be like, oh, well, I mean, you can get insurance. It's not that you can't get insurance. It's what you're going to pay is going to be the issue.
These same people are going to find something else to be upset about, trust me.
It ain't about that. I'm talking about you got his supporters getting kicked. I'm talking about the people that's getting kicked off. It's not just getting upset just to be getting upset. People are upset because their pockets are being hit.
They're not getting upset just to get upset, but this is something that insurance companies have done throughout the decades. And now we have ACA. Now that we have the
Hold on. Let's look at that. Okay. You said that was a full sentence you said. Let's unpack that. Insurance companies base it on a big chart. I think it's called actuarial charts or whatever. And they run it all the way across millions and millions of people paying into this system that is our company. That's why you can pay used to pay $30 a month for insurance for a family of four. Then companies started having to pay more. They have a locked-in rate of how much they're trying to make profit on a percentage basis, and then it floats. And what affects the cost is people coming in and out and government programs like Medicare, Medicaid coming in and not paying the full amount, and so then the doctors take their prices up, and then they have to pay more as well. So insurance companies doing what they're doing is,
okay,
to me, directly affected by.
I'm not saying that they aren't. That's just like the reason why they had to increase a lot of these individual market policies, because now their bottom line has changed. They have to cover people who have pre-existing conditions.
Because people aren't in business, whether we like it or not, people aren't in business.
Alabama,
for
Alabama.
Free.
I'm not saying anything for or against. I'm just speaking facts.
I'm not arguing with you. I wasn't even arguing with you. I was just co-signing what you were saying, yeah, you're right, because people aren't in business. They're not in business. I'm just in business to break even. I wouldn't get up every morning and go do what I did for free.
Right.
But this ain't what I'll do something for free, but this won't be it. Let's put it like that.
Is that insurance companies have been raising prices for decades. I mean, to see my mom and my I was always in a union.
But they've been doing this. They've been doing it because when Medicare started, it used to pay 100%, and the lower it goes,
I'm
not
arguing whether it was right or wrong. What they were doing, all I'm saying is they have been raising their rates for years.
Let me say this right here. You know what's funny? I'm gonna tell you what's funny though. The student loan program, when that kicked in, education went from $300 a semester to now it's $23,000 a year on average across the country for education, right? That's outrunning insurance. Nobody's complaining. Like, that's not a big deal to me, but it should be, because these universities are raping people, getting ungodly amounts of money, and they go up every year. When I was at Tuskegee, we was paying $20,000 a year, which I thought was crazy. I don't think it's worth it when you get out of school. So, what happened? A government program came in, because if you ain't going to get paid, you're going to go out of business, right? So you're going to find a way to negotiate with that student coming in saying, okay, look, these students can't afford to pay $150,000, $200,000 for 4 years of education, but they can pay 30. So we're going to have to take our prices down. But it's just the same way a lot of times government comes in trying to do something meaning well, and on the surface it looks a certain way. There's a ripple effect, butterfly effect that starts, and it turns into a tsunami on the other side. I look at, hello?
I was trying to tell, you know, I told y'all I've been working hard at the gym at Fit Family, and they came in here and like beat me up because they act like I wasn't. They haven't seen me. I was just there today, day before yesterday. What are you talking about?
One day.
Oh, John, put number two down there.
You did that on purpose, didn't you, to cut him out?
Number two down the bottom set of rows. Turn it all the way up. Number two, all the way down. Second set of buttons, all the way down.
Yeah, it's over here.
Turn it all the way up. Now there's a mic. Turn that button up on the mic. Hey, you're listening to
Tracy
and Friends here
at WSUMA600.
The number is 347-945-5229. No, John. Keep on talking. No, don't move it. No, keep on talking. Door, say hi.
I think today we're going to talk about Tracy and her nun exercise.
Tracy what?
And her nun exercise.
My nun exercise? Oh, no, yeah. I'm exercise. Don't look at me. I am glowing. Look at this.
Are glowing. You look very beautiful today.
Yes. 5 days a week I've been in the gym. I've been doing Pilates.
What gym?
The family.
5 days a week?
Absolutely. Just because you guys are not there, you guys are goofing off when I show up doesn't mean that I'm not there.
We're there 8 days, Tracy. So which part of the 8 days are you there?
Oh, I'm there when you guys are not there. You guys are working.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Uh-huh. Haven't you heard about the shadow people? Mm-hmm. Actually, see, I got a special key made. And so when you guys go home at night.
Oh, yeah, sure. You going to make another commitment the first of the year coming up again?
Matter of fact, this is not a commitment the first of the year. I've already made a commitment. I'll be there this evening.
Okay.
I couldn't even say anything to that.
I said I'll be there this evening.
Okay, that'd be good. Be great.
I'm on two a days. Two a days.
Okay.
Well, you know, that's one of the things we want to talk about today is inactivity of the American people, especially young people.
We're not going to talk about that, are we? Hey, listen, the number is 347-945-5229. Today is Health and Wellness Day. And I have Doris and John Bullock, and it's Fit Family, and they're located over in Austintown. You hear the commercial, airing it with us every day, all day long. But they're with us every second Thursday, and I know I'm supposed to be a good person and do the right thing, but
you are a good person.
Not when it comes to exercise.
No, that's absolutely true.
But I do well when I'm there sometimes.
That's not necessarily true either.
I get a sweat.
I think we should probably change this subject.
Okay, change the page. Yeah. Hey, Matt, how you doing?
I'm
Matt,
okay, Tracy.
Do you see how they treat me here?
I'm having a health and wellness issue today, too, but that would be a change in subject. I'm not going to go there, so I'm going to listen for a while. I'll come up with something.
So, Matt, you heard when I said that the reason why we're doing health and wellness is so that you can be healthy when you watch the news, right?
Right.
Very
yeah.
good. This is a
yeah, I wish
endorphin.
You would have had this show about 2 hours ago, and then it would have prepared me for 11:30, but what are you going to do?
Okay. But they come on. I mean, seriously, this is good, because we're going to be healthy. I'm working on it.
Well, you know, our gym population has grown by almost 100% in the last year.
I believe it. People are trying to get healthy. I mean, it's a process.
But there's a significant difference in the age group.
Are they older?
Yes.
You want me to tell you why?
Pardon me?
You want me to tell you why older people are not trying to get in better
sure.
shape? Because we found out that as you get older, things happen. So you want to live longer, and you don't want to be in pain. So now we're like, oh, this is not good. Maybe I need to go try to clean up all the stuff I did when I was younger.
That's part of it.
I think it's more to it, you know. Right now, in the high schools, a lot of gym programs are canceled, so you have a lot of kids that don't have any activity at school. Then they go home, they don't have any activity. So at school, they're sitting down in a classroom most of the day or in a computer-type class. Then they go home and they play games on their computer. So that's all they're doing. And what is it, Doris? 60 to 70% of the American population is overweight.
Yeah, that's true.
And most of those are the younger people.
Did you guys say that they were taking gym out of the schools?
Yes, they already did. Are they adding it back in?
Huh?
Tracy.
Huh?
Where you been?
Not in school.
Yeah. What I said is that in some schools they're eliminating gym programs because of budgetary type problems.
I had
Remember when we had gym, well, you're still a little bit younger, but we had gym every day.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they may have some type of activity once a day. They may have the kids to go outside and play in the playground or whatever, but, you know, if you're in high school or junior high, they don't make you go outside. They don't make you get activities. You know, gyms have been basically out for a while now.
Yeah, when I was in school, we'd go outside and we'd play a little bit of softball or something like that, or we'd have intramural basketball, things like that. But that's we'd have some type of a gymnastic program. We'd learn some kind of gymnastics, but that's not the case anymore. And it's not in every school district, but it's a problem.
And then usually when they're talking about taxes and they want to raise the taxes for the schools, the first thing that they start to do is they start to cut the budget for gym, or they cut it for football or whatever, any of the activities that the kids are in order to get the parents to pass that budget. Well, and then some of the time it doesn't get passed, so they start cutting back on certain things. And gym has been one of the things that they have cut.
I had no idea.
So
that they cut gym out of. I know that they didn't have to, you know, they weren't as strenuous as it was when we were in school, but I didn't realize that they cut it completely.
Oh, yeah, we had to climb ropes and jump over stuff and do all kinds of things in gym, and that just doesn't happen.
Yeah, so most of the older people that are coming to our facility, which has significantly grown in the last year, it's supported by some of the insurance programs, so they have free access to the gym, but they're still coming. Some people come every day. Some people come 3 to 5 days a week.
Hey, Diva, your mic is on.
Yes, yes. I have a question, okay, because I have put on probably 15 pounds this year, but I've not been very active for most of the year because I've been recovering from cancer treatments and all that. So, and not being able to really work out because I had a tumor removal surgery on my ankle. So now I call myself getting this gym, a gym membership, and I don't use it.
So do you find that you're just not motivated enough to go, or what is the reason? Or you find other things that need to be done?
I'm just not motivated to go. I kind of feel uncomfortable because 15 pounds for me is probably not that much for other people. So they will look at me and say, well, you know, you're fine with your 15 pounds, but for me it's a lot. But I go and I'm made to feel uncomfortable when I go to the gym, and then I just don't go, and so I don't feel motivated to go. I want to exercise at home, but I don't know what to do at home.
I'm trying to understand your question. I think the implication of what you're saying. But what really is your question? Is your question Are you questioning to yourself, why did I buy membership and why don't I go? Or what exactly is your question?
No, I was getting at, like, what type of exercises could I do at home that could help me lose some of the weight? Like, a lot of my weight is around my hips and my waistline and my belly.
Okay. First of all, you can't spot train. So you may lose in your chest before you lose in your hips. Another thing is that if you're not motivated to go to the gym, do you feel that you're going to be motivated to do it at home? One of the things you might want to look at is meeting with a trainer in order for them to sit down and set you up with goals, tell you what you need to do, tell you what find out what your goals are, what you would like to accomplish. You may look at those 15 pounds and think this is something really horrible that's come up on you, and someone else is going to look at you and say, oh, my God, why does she need to lose 15 pounds? Because she looks good. So I think you have two things going on, and I'm not saying that it's a mental thing, but a lot of times we look at ourselves in the mirror and we see one thing, and then someone else looks at you and they see something totally different. So you may want to address that. And also, if those 15 pounds are affecting your health, you just got over, you know, the surgery that you had and having cancer. Did you have radiation, chemo, or anything like that going on?
I just had radiation therapy.
Okay. So, and you've already been released from the doctor, and they said it was okay that you exercise.
Yes.
And, excuse me?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I can speak specifically to that because I've been athletic all my life, played football at YSU. In fact, we started our gym from our basement, from the equipment that we had in our basement, and now we have 5,000 square feet. But May 10th of this year was my last radiation treatment for prostate cancer. And over the course of the year, I have I gained 20 pounds because I couldn't work out. Just in the recent 2 or 3 weeks, I've been able to work out. Of course, my wife and I, we work out in the morning, like at 6:45 in the morning. But I'm not insulting your intelligence or integrity, but I'm just relating to you maybe something similar from another human being. It is a question. It is a mental type thing. It is a motivational type thing. And the reason that I'm pushing myself is because I know how well I felt when I didn't have the 20 pounds. So your question was, you know, why don't you use your membership? Or you have to question yourself, and you have to question yourself, well, who's going to pay you for your health first? Or how are you going to pay yourself for your health? And you have to put your health in front of that and then decide that you're going to do something. But like Doris said, a lot of people try to work out on their own, and they try to lose weight or get back in shape. That doesn't work well for, I'd say, 80 to 90% of the people. You need a personal trainer to sit down and assess where you're at and what do you want to do, and then they can help you. And that's probably going to take more than one personal training session with a person. So you have to invest in yourself. And securing a personal trainer is an investment, but that's going to probably be the best way for you to get to the point where you want to be.
And find someone that you like. I mean, a lot of times if you meet with someone and you don't like their personality, you don't like the way they talk to you, you're not going to continue with it. And you don't have to meet with them every week. I mean, it may be once a month. It may be twice a month. I mean, based upon your goals and what you can afford, just meet with that person, and they will tell you the things that you can do in order to help you to meet your goals. You know, you and that also will help to motivate you too, because you know when you're going to meet with that trainer in 2 weeks, they're going to look at your journal and see what you've done. They're going to look at you to see if you're eating properly. If they're not a nutritionist, they may not be able to tell you exactly what to eat, but they can look at it and see that you're either eating too much of this or you are overly eating in calories. There's a lot of things that a trainer can do for you. Make sure that they're certified. Make sure that they have some type of credentials that they can show you, and look at them and ask to see them, because you have people that walk up to you and say, oh, I'm a personal trainer, but if they don't have any certificates, they don't have a degree, they could be who knows what, just starting to exercise and they've got a body and nothing to show that they've actually learned all these different things that you need to help you.
Yeah, ask them what their experiences are. Ask them to give you some idea of some of their experiences. You know, if you come to our facility, we can show you some of our experiences and some of our successes with people.
She's in Columbus.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I mean, I know.
Okay.
But if you come to Fit Family when you come home to visit.
But if you go to whatever facility you go to, like Doris said, make sure that they're adequately certified and they have some success experiences that they can share with you. And I'm sure that they're going to also talk to you not just about physical workout. They're going to talk to you about your diet, which Doris kind of mentioned in the journal. So you're going to have to do that. But it's an investment in yourself.
You know, I'm finding out, you know, with myself, it's a process. And they say good intentions is a good thing, but it's a process. And even with journaling, I mean, at one time you had to carry a little binder with you. Now we have apps on all of our phones for the most part. And journaling, and it's very, very easy to, you know, put in what you're eating. But you try to skip over when you ate something that you knew that you weren't supposed to eat, I'm being honest.
No, and people.
And so you quit
that.
Journaling,
yeah.
Because you don't want to be accountable to your journal that you're going to see that you when you ate that whole bag of potato chips, what it's going to do to your calorie count, and then it counts down to you how long it's going to take for you to get to your goal, and you're not going to make it. Because people know what they're doing when they're not supposed to be doing it. And it at times, Matt wants to know what does journaling mean?
It means writing down everything that you put in your mouth, the exercises that you've done for the day, your stretching, if you went bowling, whatever you did for the day, you journal it. How you feel, you know, today's not a good day. I feel bad. I'm depressed. You write those things down, and if you go back and look at it over the next week, you'll find that there's somewhat of a pattern that will put you. If you know that if you were feeling bad that week, you overate. If you were feeling bad that week, you didn't exercise. Journaling is great.
It's a comparative analysis of your life, and like I said, it's also part of the investment into you improving yourself, and that's what it is. So, yeah, we don't like to write the good things down, like peanut butter parfait,
you know,
or you know something like that. You know, I love them.
I'm not even going to go there.
I've been caught too. You know,
I've been behaving.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
But don't you guys think that it's better to eat what you want though? Because I tried that for some years, like trying to go, I kept vacillating back and forth. And I said, you know what? I'm just the hell with it. I'm just gonna eat. If I feel like eating a hamburger, I'm gonna eat a hamburger, and I'm gonna eat the whole hamburger. I might eat slow, but I'm gonna eat what I want because I don't want to. If you feel like you're suffering, just like with anything, if it hurts, you're not gonna do it too long. That's just not human nature to stay like that.
Now, Alabama, but see, that's what I'm saying. It's a process, and you, it is a struggle for those of us like myself. who like to eat, who I know good food. I know how. I know good food. I know where to go get it, how to cook.
Trace, I'm from Alabama.
Alabama. I can get up in the middle of the night and cook a German chocolate cake in about an hour and a half. And I'm serious about that. When you have that kind of a, I mean, and you, oh, I think I want, oh, yeah, and I got the ingredients in the kitchen. And it's hard if you like to eat. And then you come home, and if your day is full, you're working 12, 14-hour days, and you want me to put in another hour and a half for exercise? And if you're black, you got hair to play with.
Well, hold on, Tracy. Like, don't you think that, and I'm sure your guests can call, come, like, sometimes I go to the gym. I go just about 5 days a week. Every day when I go to work, I go to the gym. When I go, some days I go in there, but it's just fun to me because I've been doing it for years. I like it. Like, I enjoy working out. But sometimes I go in that gym and I don't have it. You know what I do? I work out, lollygag, do a few light weights on here. I do something. I don't just go in there and half do it. I at least do 12 sets of something. Then I hit the sauna and leave. But yeah, but some days I come in there, I don't feel like those. I just don't feel like it. I'd rather go. It's Friday, man. We finna go get some drinks. Yeah, but I still hit it, and then I get in the sauna, or I might run and do. I might run for like 10 minutes, and I'm gone. I hit 150 calories, and I'm gone. But I feel like you should do something, even when you don't feel like it. At least do something and do it to where it doesn't hurt as bad, so you can train your mind to say, you know what, it's not as bad, even if I don't feel like it's not going to hurt as. I mean, I think that consistency is the key first, and then because even on those light days, you still burn 400 calories. And you still hit your muscles, and they have to heal, so that's going to take time.
Alabama, my question to Doris and John is, how do I – getting that discipline to where you – I like it when I get there, but getting there is a chore, and leaving – I was at the gym. I was with Doris on Tuesday night, and I walked in there with a little cute hairdo. And when I left out of the gym – after an hour and a half, it was, oh. And I had a meeting afterwards, and so the people that I met with just had to endure the smell, the sweat, and the hair.
Well, let me
when I woke
say,
up the next day,
workout.
Hold on. See, you understand? When I woke up the next day, there was a war going on. It was with me and the comb. What? I ain't lying. And you know I'm not lying. I'm telling the truth. And it was like, I want to go back and work out again, but, oh, that is such a chore. That's like, and I'm, y'all know I'm telling the truth. Am I not?
Yeah.
Why don't you
You're
get a hairstyle
right.
that works for you that you can continue to work out?
I was a little bit worried about you that night when I first saw you. I didn't know why you're looking so strange, but now I know.
But you know what? I want to go back to Mr. Alabama.
Yeah, I want to address one of the things he said, too.
When he said about the eating, and you know what? Life is short, and I'm not a trainer that would tell you don't eat this, don't eat that. I might suggest that you don't eat these things, but I also tell my clients to enjoy what they take in. So if you're once a week, if you want that Big Mac I shouldn't have said that, but
ooh, yeah,
if you want, you know, that ice cream,
ooh, don't make an ice
whatever,
cream
you go for it. But you realize afterwards, okay, I'm going to go to the gym and I'm going to work that off the next day. It's the ones that don't do that that have the real issues. So
well, let me ask you
you're,
this,
you're
though,
doing
like,
it the right way.
But I don't. What I don't do, and this may sound bad, I'll eat if I want to eat a hamburger every day. I'll eat a hamburger, but I'll still cut the calories. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna eat the hamburger. I'm gonna drink a water. I'm not gonna get any fries, or I'm gonna get fries. Take four or five of the fries, just get the taste of the fries, and throw them in the trash. And I'm gonna still get that feeling of eating the food, the euphoric feeling that the pleasure that you may get from eating that type of food, but my calorie intake wasn't over 1,200. It was maybe just 600 or 700 because I done found myself going into McDonald's, walking over to the little chart, saying, nah, you know what, I don't want that because of the calories. And then I would try to – I'll do that. But I would be lying if I say once a week. I hear that all the time, once a week. If Friday coming, my homeboy coming up there, we going to this place called Spun Divots. We going to, you know – but it's a lot of lobster and crab we going to eat. But I'm just saying, like –
I eat what I want to eat, and then there are days where I know I'm breaking it, and I know it, and I just know it. But I believe me, I take pre-workout.
Are you at the gym? You're at the gym 5 days a
week.
Well,
I'm at the gym every day.
And
but then on top of that,
so,
I take a pre-workout too, which when I go in the gym and I take that that pre-workout, it's just, I mean, I go in there like the Hulk because I just feel like you just get this feeling. You know, I like to take the kind that makes you tingle because I like that feeling when I'm working out.
Yeah.
Well, there's another side of this coin also. Everybody's metabolism is different, and or their chemical makeup within their body. So if you're, you know, for one person, a Big Mac may affect them tragically different than it does another person because their metabolism is not going to burn that off as fast. That's either if you're working out or not working out. And there are diets that encompass all foods, but they're at moderations. So the main thing is for you to understand that you have to invest in yourself, and you have to understand that things are done in moderation. You know, if you're eating a Big Mac or some other type of hamburger or some other type of food that's not going to help your system every day and not work out, well, then it's going to damage your body.
But let me ask you this. I want to compete. I want to get into competition. I think I'm going to need a trainer. So I don't really need a trainer because I went to play ball, and I pretty much almost can do it myself because I did it all through since, like, I was a toddler almost. But the thing is, I know I'm going to need somebody to push me on that next level. And I think there are certain things that training professional to try to compete that I probably have never done.
What are you going to
compete in? No, that's the thing. I don't want to be like this because I got a slender build, so I don't want to put on all that big mass because it would take me a lot, and I don't want to mess. I feel like once you get it, you got to maintain it the rest of your life. So I just want to probably round out what I got and make it just bring the body fat down and compete. I forget what they call it. It's a new kind of competing for people that are built like me. I forget. I'm not an ectomorph, where the person's slender. So I'm not that type of – so my body's naturally slim anyway. So I'm not just, you know – because I played basketball, so I'm not just one of these big round guys, like built like a linebacker or something. But I'll compete.
Okay.
But they got a competition for that. But I don't know what type – because most trainers train for guys that's weighing 250 pounds and 5'6". You know, I'm not – I don't want to do that.
Well, your thought process is correct. You just have to find the right trainer. And it's Doris's suggestions earlier is, you know, make sure you do the interviewing of the trainers and make sure they understand what you want to do.
And let me say this about trainers. Every trainer, every person is different and every trainer is different. But and a lot of times we tend to look at the physique of the trainer and not the credentials of the trainer. And we do a lot of that. And you need to, I mean, just because they went to school, if they haven't stayed on top of their certifications, if they don't know anything about nutrition and health and wellness and being well-rounded, then you need to continue on until you find someone who's going to be there and have the knowledge base that you need. Because you said something earlier, Doris, about spot training.
Mm-hmm.
Or spot weight loss or spot.
Yeah.
You can't spot
what is it called? I forgot the name of it already.
Spot
but you can't
fat reduction.
Spot lose. Yes, you can't do that because you may lose in your upper body before you do in the lower. There's no way to do that. I mean, years ago they used to say, well, let's, you know, set you up so that you were going to work this area more in order for you to lose there. There's no spot reduction. You may lose totally in the wrong place that you don't want to lose. So you have
but
to
you
take
know,
that
is
consideration.
Not, that is not what people tell people.
No.
There are a lot
not.
Of people that believe that they can lose in certain spots.
Yeah.
Well, a prime example of that is people that are doing 100 sit-ups every day and their stomach still looks the same.
Yeah.
You know, because you have to do more.
Why are you talking about me, John?
I'm talking about myself.
I mean, you know I do 100. You know I can do 100 sit-ups and no problem. It's everything else I'm having a problem with. And why you want to talk about me? I'm sitting here, you know.
No, I wouldn't do that. I would not do that.
And now
that
the door's told me
all.
To get a new hairdo. I think I'm going to go get a John Bullock.
Yeah. Hey, on that trainer issue, I wanted to ask you guys a question because I know a guy that went to jail.
I'll be right back. Let me take my break. You're listening to Tracy.
Man, she got me
wanting
to go get me a Big Mac.
I mean, man, I eat what I want to eat because I work out every day. Look, I ain't going to put myself through that type of torture of just not eating.
I don't work out, and my eating habits have gotten really bad. I used to eat very
healthy.
But
see, you probably just need to get some weights. Women don't black, especially women, black women especially, don't want to touch the weights. They
want to bulk up. See that?
Hold on. Listen to me very well. It takes more calories to sustain muscle than fat. So when you're resting, you're going to burn more calories. So if you are whatever, let's say you weigh 145, 150. If you sit still today and you're more fat than muscle, you're going to burn less calories. So what I'm saying is if you want to be able to sustain and eat more, then you need to have your body desiring more calories. And in order to do that, you need to lift weights. It's very, look at Angela Bassett, very womanly. She don't look like no man.
I don't like her muscle definition.
You ain't got to look like Angela Bassett. It's 50. You know how long she's been working out for years. You ain't got to look like her. Look at Kelly Rowland. Look at her. She works out. Look at her body. Everything is
flawless. I like her
legs.
Flawless. I like her arms. They have too much muscle definition.
Kelly Rowland?
The thing is, and that's just me, I like for my limbs.
Look, if you want to get the flab off your arms, period, whatever it is, or whatever you want to get rid of, you're going to have to hit weights. So why? Because I hit the weights real hard 2 days ago. Yesterday I did a cardio day, right? I'm still healing from 2 days ago. I can feel it. And I've been working out all the time, but I hit it extremely hard. I did like this burnout superset thing. So that lets me know that I'm burning more calories than I normally would because my body has to work to restore the muscles that I've tore down 2 days ago. And I'm going back today when I get off. And today I'm finna lift again. But you gotta do that. If you don't do that, then that's what women don't get. They go to the gym, like in January, I'm gonna tell you what a lot of women they're gonna go in there, they're gonna get on a treadmill, they're gonna walk for hours, lose weight, get to a certain weight level, stop, they ain't built no muscle, they're going to keep those same eating habits, and they're going to gain that fat weight back in a month or two. Because you got to put some muscle in your body. You got to.
If I just change my eating habits, I'm more likely to lose the weight. It's just my eating habits have gotten
better. Diva, you're 30 days off your ideal weight. If you're 15 days, that ain't nothing. If you're 30 days, I mean, you can almost go to the track and run that off. I mean, you just got to get out there. 15 pounds ain't nothing. You can lose 3 pounds a week. That's not real hard to do.
That's when I've never been more than 105 all my life until I got pregnant with my daughter. When I got pregnant with my daughter, I put on 20 pounds. And within the last, I would say since 2004, I have averaged anywhere between 125 and 130. This year I jumped from 135 to 147, 148. Just in the last couple of months. And that's just because
It just depends. And another thing about spot fat reduction, like I didn't want to get into no big debate. You can wrap, there's this thing you buy that you wrap your stomach with that makes the temperature go up when you run and you actually burn. And I've used it, and it does help you burn fat in that specific area a lot more.
In that specific area?
Yeah. And I use them. But, and I know some people that use them. Also, you can go to, they got this medical weight loss thing. They got places, it's called mesotherapy, M-E-S-O therapy, where it injects right into the fat directly with this little real small needle, and then the fat dissolves the fat, and then your body disposes of it. That's another way to do spot fat reduction.
Where you get that?
$100. That's just $100. Well, they charge $100 in Alabama. But you probably can get it for like anywhere from about $200 at the most per treatment. You're going to need about... Like, say, if you got a certain area, you might need, like, four treatments, three to four. You don't need that many because you only need to lose 15 pounds. And you want to focus on a specific area.
It's going to take you about a month for the fat to dissolve, because I used to work at this place. So that's what we call it, spot fat reduction.
Use it to my ears right there.
It's called meso, M-E-S-O, mesotherapy. It's cheaper than lipo, and it's just $100. And they got something called cool sculpting. They done started cooling fat. Science is caught up with that. But the problem is you're still not dealing with the health. I like to actually worry. I like the old-fashioned way. That's just me.
I mean, I could get a trainer. It's just a matter of...
Ain't that like a woman that got that's in shape that can walk around with her stomach out? Nah, that's a beautiful thing. She ain't got to have a ripped stomach like a man. But it's just beautiful to see a woman can wear her stomach out. Like most women can't. A lot of them can't. You know, I don't mind nice thighs and a big butt, but you gotta have that flat stomach now. It's imperative.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
important.
That's the one thing that I've noticed that, I mean, a lot of people say, you don't have a stomach, but I'm like, for me, yeah, I'm sorry, I can know it's the big difference.
I mean, you could go get that treatment, it's gonna swell up, and then it'll get rid of it. Then you do another one, probably by March. All the fat will be gone if you do like 3 or 4 treatments just in that area, because I got some areas I was going to get treated.
What about, because I got some love handles.
That's exactly what they do use it for. It'll come right off.
All right.
It's called mesotherapy, M-E-S-O.
That sounds awesome. I've looked that up online.
Well, go to downwiththepounds.com. They're based in Alabama, but you'll see the description of it. Go on YouTube and type it up. Go on YouTube and just type spot fat reduction. You'll see. It's all technology. They got one called Cool Sculpting. Costs about $400, where they actually cool the fat for 45 minutes. Then your body gets rid of it, and it's permanently gone.
That makes more sense to me than heating it.
Oh, you mean like working out?
Well, no, working out, obviously, you got to do. But when you were talking about the belt that they put around and it warms it.
Well,
no.
I wear that every day when I go to the gym. That's why I know it works, because I ain't trying to be fine and kind of got where I want to be. There's a body fat in certain areas, like in my back, which I can't put it up there. But there's this little thing I wear, and I wrap it around real tight. And I work out, and I sweat like an old man. I sweat real bad.
Doris and
so,
John Bullock. And Mark Mann just came in. How you doing, darling?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, good to see you today.
We had a party. You didn't tell me we were having a party here today.
There's no food.
Well, look, we've got good people here today.
I got great people here. But this is second Thursday. Second Thursday, I always have great people on second Thursday.
I'm the first and third Thursday guy, but, you know.
Yeah.
she doesn't bring me on great people second Thursday.
Well, you're always welcome, Mark.
I know.
You know that.
I know that.
And then Gordon is over in the corner. He's not talking, though.
Hey,
I got
Gordon.
A mic over there if he wants it.
He's intentionally trying to solve the problem.
I got problems in the back, and he's helping me out. Yeah. 440, I see you on. You're listening to Tracy and Friends. The number is 347-945-5229. And it's Health and Wellness Day. I take out at least one day a month to focus in on health and wellness, whether I do it or not. I'm trying, y'all, but y'all don't understand. I miss Stanley, and Stanley's not here to motivate me.
I'll motivate you.
Remember Stanley from New York, the crazy guy?
No.
I remember.
Yeah.
Stanley's...
Oh, that he would call. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Stanley hasn't called in for so long, and so we've missed him, and so I lost my motivation because I lost my Stanley.
So where's Stanley at?
I don't know. I don't know. There's a hunt out for Stanley. And so I
how do you
Stanley.
Want to be motivated? I'll motivate.
I'm not quite sure what the motivator is. we've tried money.
That's always the motivator. That's my motivator.
That's not my motivator, not for working out, not for going to the gym.
No, I'm working. I mean, you know, I'm walking
yeah,
every night. I'm
walking
every day. I'm down a belt launch.
Okay.
So
that's a good
thing. That's a good improvement.
Yeah.
I've got three belt launches to go.
Walking is one of the best exercises you can do.
Yeah. And,
hey,
Tracy. In my neighborhood, you go around, and there's this big hill you got to go up. And, you know, it's the hill is what the challenge is.
440, your mic's up. Hello? Somebody just said my name.
I think that was 440.
I think it was too, and then he like dropped off the face of the earth. What did you do with him?
Oh, sure, blame me. Hey, in his absence, can I ask a question to your guest?
Sure.
I have four kids. Three of them, it really hasn't been that hard to get physically motivated. I do have a son, though, that it's been extremely difficult, and I've done every trick in the book that I can figure out to get him up and exercising or up and doing anything. And it is such a fight. I'll get him out to go throw the ball around or, you know, try to get him involved in sports. The only sport he wants to do is football, and when he gets to the calisthenics parts of football, all of a sudden football isn't that interesting anymore. Extremely non-motivated child. What is your advice to be able to get him motivated? What can I do? What can I look at? What's a path I can take?
Can I ask how old he is?
He's 10 years old.
Okay. And at 10, it is going to be a challenge. He has no interest in anything.
He said football.
But he liked football other until he got to the working out part.
Right, and my daughter, he's got a twin sister, and she's completely into soccer, and she is running around all day long. You know, there's no stopping her. And I've tried to get him interested, even though he doesn't really get into the sport too much, I've tried to just get him to go into practices because the coaches are very receptive to having siblings come in and practice with him and play games. It's a game. But he just does not want to do it.
Does he like spending time with you?
Yeah.
Okay. So maybe one of the first things to get started would be for you and him to go on a walk. And then this is our time, no one else's. Just you and him go for a walk just to get him going. And then maybe this is that time that he'll start to realize that, okay, I feel good, I feel better when I do this. And maybe that'll help to get him motivated to do even more. So, I mean, taking baby steps with it, not letting him have as long of TV hours, computer game hours, things like that, just to get him to go moving in the right direction. How overweight is he, or is he not overweight? I mean, he's still growing, so he may shoot up and lose weight if he is overweight.
Yeah, he's, I wouldn't say overweight, that's what it is, he goes in between those growing spurts, but that being said, he used to be, before this summer, he was a stick, he was a pole, and this summer came around, and we have a pool, so he went to go swimming. It was the first time I saw him all winter take his shirt off, and I was like, whoa, I was like, what the heck, what didn't you eat, kid? And so it was, that was a bit of a shocker. But, yeah, I can see, and I've tried the baby steps before. I went out and I bought a mountain bike, and we started to do the biking, but then, you know, we would go past a friend of his house, and he wanted to go there, and I would say, nah, let's go for this bike ride, and it was a fight the entire bike ride to get him, because he wanted to go with his friend, and his friend at the time was playing video games at his house. So, you know, it's an extremely difficult situation.
Let me ask a question. Have you asked him what does he really like to do?
Yeah, and it's football.
From an athletic standpoint, or from a workout standpoint or activity standpoint.
As far as activities go, he really has no. Maybe I'm asking the wrong questions, but he really has no. He'll want to go out and throw the football around or throw a baseball around, but once again, it'll last up until, you know, a friend comes by or sees somebody down the street, and then it's like, no, let's stay out here, or I'll tell him, let's stay out, and, you know, you wanted to go play ball, let's play some ball, and then he goes into a mode where he's just like, I don't want to be doing this, I'd rather be with my friend doing a lazy thing than, you know, working out outside.
Well, one more question. Have you asked him what does he want to do in life?
That
we're not
I
psychologists
have,
no. or psychiatrists, but have you haven't done that?
I've never said what do you want to do in life. No, I don't think I've ever asked that. No.
Okay, to me, that's a key to his mental makeup, or you know, what does he want to do? What does he dislike? What does he? That's going to tell you what does he really want to do with himself. And once you find that out, probably it's probably going to be the most important part of knowing what he wants to do, or getting him motivated to do some of the more healthful type or healthy type things.
There's also, I'm not sure where you're located at, there's also different programs out there for kids that maybe you might want to take him to one of the fitness places that offer a children's program where they can actually go in, and they kind of base them on like video games and things like that that will get them moving and motivate them to become more active. Sometimes, I mean, at that age, it's really tough for kids because they're still trying to find themselves, and they don't know what they don't want to do because they don't want to be compared with their other siblings. And, you know, dad thinks this person is better because they play soccer. So there may be some little bit of discrepancy with that, too. So maybe it's just some me and you time.
That's a good idea, but that's also why I asked. You know, you need to find out the answer to what does he really want to do with himself and
so you,
in his life.
What's he interested in?
Yes.
But if you look at young people's day, just to add on, just to expand this conversation a little bit, a lot of young people, where we were playing dodgeball, kickball, we didn't have video games.
Yeah.
I mean, there was no. We had one TV, four channels.
Three.
Yeah. I'm with the three, too.
Yeah.
I don't know where she was.
You guys were all lucky.
You
only had two.
No, we had, you know, you had 45 on
we
Sunday.
We had 21, 27, 33, and 45.
Yeah.
You know what? Maybe we didn't have that antenna that got that 45.
You had, wait a minute.
Yeah, in Pittsburgh, we had channel 2 and channel 4.
You didn't have what you didn't have was the aluminum foil to go on the antenna.
Yeah,
that's
well,
that's,
we didn't. We couldn't afford the aluminum foil.
Oh, they telling stories. So all we did was play outside. 440, hold on just a second. I'm going to pull you in. Don't go anywhere. So I'm just saying, that's what we had. We had no choice but to run, to play, to fight, to climb trees, to do, you know, there was nothing else.
Yeah.
You're looking at you said your son is 7 years old?
10.
I mean, he's got more stuff than we actually had when we were seniors in high school.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, I think that kids in that age bracket now, like when I was coming in 10, you know, I didn't really think about what I wanted to do, okay? But I think kids now of this age, they think more about what they want to do or what they don't want to do. And that's probably mostly because of the video games and things like that.
Go ahead, 440. Your mic is on.
Yeah, for years I was a competitive bodybuilder, and I have an 8-year-old granddaughter. And the whole thing with that, when they're that near that age, it's the minor victories. If you can point out where they've accomplished
something,
themselves. All right, believe me. Yeah, now she is wonderful in track and swimming, and she doesn't want to give up either or. And I mean to tell you what, it all started with a small minor victory. She says,
exactly.
I can do this. I can do this. And now it's just off the hook. And I mean, she trains at the Olympic facility up at Spire Institute in Geneva. That's how good she's gotten.
Wow.
That means, But
exactly
as far as there's no magic as far as taking care of your body. It's all on what you put in your body and what you burn. That's the whole deal right there. I mean,
that's right.
What everybody fails to realize is that when, let's say, if you quit eating chocolate, your body forgets what it tastes like.
No, it
does. After a while. Yes, it does. Oh, yes,
yes,
it does.
Yes, it does.
If you, am I right or wrong?
You're right.
You know, that's just like giving
that was Tracy saying no.
Giving up pop or
I'm trying to tell you.
And drinking water. You start craving the water, and then pop will become too sweet, and you won't even want it. So water is just,
it'll be a shock to you when you drink it.
I hear you clucking. Mm-hmm. I'm working on it. I'm drinking my water right now.
You need to call more often so you can influence Tracy.
I call too much. I tried to shock her, though, a couple times, and that's a long story. I poke her with sticks, and she pokes me back, so... Yeah, but
well, that's my job.
Yeah, it's the whole week when you're eating the whole week. After a while, it becomes a habit, and then give yourself a junk day. I call it a junk day. And then after a while, you won't even want the junk day.
Now I have to disagree. I have found out, and I'm speaking only on my behalf. When I let it down, I need to keep it away. Because I can go off of sodas for a long period of time, but the day I pick up another soda, my body likes
Tracy,
soda. My body likes
soda.
So you're
soda.
I have
soda
I have
and chips are the worst flipping thing you can eat. Soda is so bad.
Six brought me a 5-pound bag of salt and vinegar potato chips from Shear.
Oh,
when was that, Tracy? We didn't talk about that.
They're down there. I just showed you. And there's some over there. There's potato chips all around here. Yeah, Mark?
You need a 12-step program.
I do.
I'll tell you what. I know some people that are addicted to soda, and I never thought up until the last couple of years that I met these people that it was such an addiction and such a problem. My God, it's like watching an alcoholic or a drug addict.
It really is.
Yeah. It's just like it. And I was shocked when this person I knew was trying to change their life around getting off the soda, and I mean they were physically.
If you love the food and the homemade tradition.
You guys just don't understand.
I used to work with a guy to bring a 6-pack of Pepsi into work. He did it every day.
My brother was that way.
He drinks a lot
of Coca-Cola.
He could not live without his 6-pack. It's like someone leaving work and having a 6-pack of beer. He had his 6-pack of Pepsi every day.
The only thing that I really drink that's soda I take that back. I love Coke. But if I have a Coke, I might have one of those little tiny bottles. I'll put a bunch of ice in a glass and pour out half of it, and that takes care of the craving. Mostly I like Diet Dr. Pepper. That's probably the best diet drink around, but mostly I drink club soda with lemon.
I want something fizzy.
I don't know whether that's good or bad, but...
They say it's not good, but it's better than pop.
It's water.
My name is Diva, and I have been soda-free for a little over a year.
Congratulations, Diva.
Congratulations.
I am so proud of you.
I drink nesting sweat soda all day, every day. Tried to quit cold turkey the first time last year. Ended up in the emergency room because I had a migraine for 3 days. It just would not go away.
And then the
doctor had to tell me I can't quit soda in that way. I have to slowly
wean yourself.
So I went from maybe 8 sodas down to 6, down to maybe 4, then down to 2, and then down to 9.
Go ahead, Alex.
Hey, Tracy, I had a question for your guest.
It's about
diet sodas. Now, my question is this, all right? Now, I guess you could say a scientist engineer, and one of the things that does not make sense to me, okay, and this is just one of my because I kind of butt heads with a lot of traditional science, but if you look at the can of the soda or the bottle, it'll say 0 calories. Okay. Now, to me, anything that you put in your body has some kind of effect. Now, you may not be able to measure it in calories, which is all calories is a unit of energy. But it has to be doing something, you know, to your body. When you drink these, like a diet beverage that says zero calories. And so I've never come across someone that can, you know, adequately explain, okay, if it's zero calories, then why can't I just drink all the diet soda that I want? You know,
but we know that we can't.
And we know that we cannot do that. And so so why not? And so we need to, I just think, you know, we need to, that needs to be explained well so that it, because it probably extrapolates to all this freaking diet food.
Can I answer that?
Go ahead, 440.
You know, when you drink diet soda, and not a lot of people know this, when you work out, you're gonna feel that workout worse. You'll be more sore than if you just drank water. Diet soda is terrible for you. The chemicals that are inside that, it just raises havoc with your body, and you'll be more sore after a workout.
What are you saying, Mark? Because you're a diet soda drinker, I know.
No, I'm not. I was. Not so much anymore. Like I say, I have a diet Dr. Pepper at lunch maybe once a week or something like that. Diet Pop killed my mother-in-law. She would drink anywhere from 6 to 10 bottles of Diet Coke a day. She got cirrhosis of the liver a day.
And if you have arthritis, you're screwed. It makes your arthritis worse.
Yeah. Well, there's a very important point that you brought up there. And related to the zero calories, and to answer the question, you can have zero calories, but that doesn't matter as much as what it's the chemicals. What are the chemicals in the substance that you're going to intake, either liquid or solid? And a lot of people don't know. You can take Coke and put it on a rag and take the rust off of chrome. So if you do that with metal, you understand what it's doing to the inside of your body.
Well, listen, guys, you know it's been an hour, right?
Oh, no, I didn't. Okay.
What are you laughing about?
Because it's been an hour. You guys didn't know it.
It was after 2.
Yeah, it's after 2. I missed my top of the hour break. Hey, listen,
I hope we answered this question, though.
I want to thank Doris and John Bullock from Fit Family. And Fit Family is located over in Austintown on 46. It is a family gym. It is a wonderful place to go. It's always welcoming. It's always warm. And the equipment is great. The environment, the atmosphere is really wonderful. And being that I'm there at least 3 hours a day, you probably can find me there. Doris, what are you rolling your eyes at?
They almost got stuck in the back of my head.
So listen, I'm going to go take my break. I'll see you guys on the other. I'm going to turn the phones off, the mics off inside of the chat room. You guys can go ahead and have a conversation. And then I'm going to let Dr. Mason, I see he just walked in, I'm going to let him come in and let Doris and John go back to work. God bless you guys. Thank you so much.
Thank
and we'll
you.
Be right
Thank
back.
You for-
yeah, it's quiet up in here. I'm going to do my phone. Is it my phone? Hello?
Hey, Dee.
Hey, Alex. Hey, Alex, I was meaning to get at you.
Oh, yeah?
Because I think you just might, if Rand Paul holds out, I think you just might get your wish of a fat audit.
No, yeah? You think so?
Yeah.
I doubt it. It'll never happen.
I mean, with him being if he can get a couple of senators to go along with him, and because I think he's threatening to hold up one of President Obama's nominations, I believe is Janet Yellen. I don't know if he's
uh-huh.
one, but he said he was not. He will filibuster her nomination to the chair of Fed if there is not an audit.
Right. He can do that, but I don't see it going anywhere, though. I mean, when is the last – I mean, filibusters are – I mean, they're great for the news, but when's the last time you've heard of a filibuster actually swinging Congress the other way? you know, it just doesn't happen. It just never, you know, anytime there's a filibuster, I mean, it means that you're in the minority. And so, you know, it just, I don't know. I just don't see it happening because the banks, they just might be the biggest lobby in Congress. And so they don't want an audit of the Fed. So it's just not going to happen. You know, I don't see it happening.
Do you think that if he really does filibuster, do you think that President Obama will give up on Janet Yellen being the Fed chair, or will he just keep the guy in there now until he can get a more, until basically a waited out situation with Paul?
Nah, he'll
go ahead.
I don't think it'll matter. I mean, I think Bernanke's out regardless. I mean, unless something comes up about Yellen in her past or whatever, she'll probably be the Fed chair.
Not if he's blocking it. All it takes is one senator to filibuster.
Yeah, but the thing about a filibuster is you have to. I mean, the longest any filibuster has taken is what? I mean, his last is, I think, maybe 2 days or something. The thing about a filibuster is you have to keep talking. As long as you're on the floor, then you can hold the process up. But he has to keep talking. And so unless he gets, like, you know, I don't know, five or six other senators that he can rotate with and each one talks every day. A day or something, it just never works. You know, it's almost for the news headline or whatever. I can't think of not a single time that a filibuster has actually swung Congress into the other way. You know, just doesn't happen. But I think they want to put a woman in that spot so that, you know, people will be less critical of the Fed.
And while I do like her better, I like the thought of Larry Summers, but I do think, I do agree with you that I think that something needs to be done. The fact that we had with the 2008 thing, and then you had Paulson telling us, well, give us this money, don't ask us what we do with it. I'm with you. I think that there needs to be a look into that situation.
I mean, just look at what's been going on. Like, they've been pumping $85 billion every month and giving it to the banks.
Yeah.
That's over $1 trillion a year, every year, since 2008, okay? So in what they're called quantitative easing, whatever. Now, that $1 trillion has only gone to the wealthy. That's it.
Yeah,
you know,
that's true.
And the only thing that's done is increase the stock market. The stock market is the Dow Jones and everything is higher, is at record levels, is higher than it's ever been. And so the only people making money.
That's what caused me to look at it differently, because I'm like, wait a minute. They said that this QE will trickle down, stabilize the economy, and things will get better. But the only thing that I see that truly has improved is the stock market.
Yeah, because the money is going to the.
And they keep saying, well, we need this. And I'm like, well, who is telling you that we need this? If it's not working for everybody,
right,
then obviously we don't need it. It's like the people at the top are speaking for themselves and fighting for this QE for themselves to make themselves richer. I just think something needs to be done.
Yeah. I mean, because the banks are the biggest lobbies in Congress, and what the QE does, that $1 trillion every year, it just goes to the banks. It doesn't. It's not quantitatively easing anyone except for the top, you know, 0.1%. You know, it's just it's ridiculous, you know. And so, you know, that's what needs to be. Honestly, and that's not even a. You can audit the Fed on that, but like, we already know that they're doing at least that. They're giving $1 trillion to the big banks every year. We know that that's going on.
What,
you know,
I can't understand.
We don't even need to audit them to know that. What we have to realize is that that's public information, and that's a travesty. We should be outraged about that, that for the last few years they've been giving $1 trillion to the banks claiming it's going to help the economy, and unemployment is still like 15-20%. You know,
what I can't understand is when all of these houses started going into foreclosure, is why they wouldn't just decide to give the money to, like, they got all this money. Why were people still kicked out of their homes?
Money was given to the banks. It wasn't given to the people.
Yeah.
That needed
it. That's
what
I'm saying. So the houses were essentially paid off. So then what they did was they took the homes and then resold them to someone else and made money off that end too.
Yeah, the only thing that they did is clear the bank's balance sheet. They just cleared that bad debt off the bank's balance sheet, and so because the banks told them that, oh yeah, if you get rid of this bad debt for us, you know, then we'll be able to start lending again. and so we paid off their bad debt, and they're like, all right, thanks. Now we're going to use this money to invest in the stock market.
also, one of the funny things about that whole situation, when you come in and buy the house, they make you put down 10-15%, and then they finance your own money back to you because they actually loaning you fake money because they can loan 10 times what they got. So when you get a down payment,
yeah,
they're really not giving you anything.
Hi, buddy.
Yeah.
I got chocolate.
It's a racket. It is truly a racket.
You gotta give a kiss first.
That's why they would say, look, you put down 5% because they were making so much money anyway. It didn't make a difference.
Well, what I don't understand is not, like, the homes that qualify for the Fed, the Freddie Mac, Fannie Mae, and the FHA loans, those homes were insured by the federal government. And so those homes require zero down. Zero to maybe $300 down.
No. FHA still requires you to put down 10% at least.
No, FHA now requires you to put down something more since 2008 happened, but prior to that, no.
Prior to that, yeah, you can do whatever you want to do.
Enough nutrients, enough calories, enough vitamins, protein, things of that nature. It's where we're being overfed but undernourished because we're not getting the proper nutrition. So what happens is we're becoming nutritionally deficient on a cell level.
The fat on the other level.
Fat. So we have a land of obese people. So what's going on is we're nutritionally deficient on the cell level, and people are getting migraine headaches. They're getting digestive upsets, low sex drive, you know, psoriasis, eczema, skin rashes, arthritic pain, neck pain, back pain, chronic fatigue, you name it. So this is all because of the standard American diet of what people are consuming, and that's why it's absolutely critical to, number one, is you need to eat a healthy diet. You can't be eating junk, and you have to supplement your diet with proper nutrients.
I believe them. You got to do this. You got to. No, I'm serious. You know, I've got to tell him that when I first met him, you know, 6 or 8 weeks ago, however long
yeah.
it's been, and I said I have to go do something about myself. So I started walking, and I'm walking more and more and more and more every day, and I always get it in no matter what. I do that for myself, And it's a strenuous walk. As I was telling the folks you had on here before, it's an uphill walk. I mean, it's like a very steep hill. That's the end part of the path that I take. And you know, I've got more energy. I'm not falling asleep at 4 in the afternoon anymore. I've got, you know, I'm feeling much, much better. And I've not used a scale to see what I've weighed, but I'm down a belt notch, and I'm real happy mm-hmm. about that.
And it feels good.
And it feels good. You know, I feel great. This is wonderful.
I found that I'm not as bloated. You know, you mm-hmm. eat into your, you eat to pass full, but you're bloated all the time. There's a I guess your body's calling for nutrients that it's not finding, and so you continue to eat until you find it.
I don't
Would you say that?
I don't understand things. When I look, people go out and I look at what they eat.
Yeah, what do they eat?
I don't eat that way. Yeah. I mean, I really try to. I basically avoid fried foods. You know, I don't eat French fries. I don't eat. You know, I pretty much eat with a piece of meat, a potato, fruit, and a vegetable.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, my downfall is sweets. I love sweets.
Well, you know, everyone's going to have cravings for sweets, you know, yeah. now and then anyway. But a lot of people really have bad cravings. And a lot of that really stems back to the nutritional deficiencies again, because when you are deficient in a lot of the trace minerals, things like chromium and vanadium and magnesium and things of this sort, they act as insulin mimics, and they help to regulate your blood sugar and your insulin, which in turn directly regulates your cravings and directly regulates your metabolism, how well you're efficiently going to burn fat, your energy. So like I said, all these nutrients have to, they work synergistically. They work in harmony together. And what's going on is a lot of people are, you know, through TV ads and commercial ads, these infomercials, you know, they're saying, you know, this nutrient or this berry will cure everything from A to Z, and if you have low sex drive, you're going to take this pill and you're going to wake up in the morning 25 years old looking like Arnold Schwarzenegger. And it's the furthest thing from the truth. So these nutrients you have to see what you're deficient in and get them back into balance. Find the deficit, correct the deficit, get your body chemistry back into balance, and then these nutrients really come together and do magic. It's sort of like, you know, having a guitar player sitting here playing a song, and it may sound great, but, you know, if you have the strings come together and then you have the woodwinds come together and you got the percussion and the brass and you have that whole symphony there, you know, it just blows your hair back. I mean, just a total difference.
When you say nutrients, are you proposing you look at the food that you're eating, or do you do supplements for some of the nutrients that you're missing?
That's a good question. You have to definitely supplement your diet. I mean, even there's a phenomenon anymore of even if you're eating, I mean, I have people that come into my office that are eating organic foods. They're exercising. They're trying to do all the right things. But they're sick. I mean, their energy level is 2 out of 10. Like I said, they're low. They have no sex drive. Their skin is dry. They're retaining weight. Migraine headaches, brain fog, you name it, they have it. And the problem is you know, they've transitioned to doing healthy things, and they're taking supplements from A to Z, you know, trying to cover all bases, but they're still sick. So you have to ask, so what do you do? You know, do you just learn to live with it? Or do you do something about it? So this is where I test people. I test her urine. I test her blood. I test her hair. I test her stool. I test for food allergies and food sensitivities. Are you digesting and absorbing properly? Because if you can't digest and absorb, you're going to become nutritionally deficient on top of already being deficient. Can you have toxic metals in your system? That is another big topic right there. But we're able to test someone on a cell level to determine what they're missing or what they're lacking or what they may be toxic in, which is huge. So, you know, biochemistry, nutritional biochemistry has evolved to the point where we're able to assess you on a cell level. So, in other words, it's like your fingerprint is different than my fingerprint, and your dental records are different than mine, why would your nutritional needs be the same? Right?
How helpful are or not helpful are some of these prepackaged vitamins you see advertised on television, those kinds of things? Are they worth looking at or not?
That's a good question, and it's an important question because, like I said, with things that you're seeing being advertised on these infomercials and all that, you know, curing everything from A to Z, it's basically a Wild West show out there as far as supplements. You don't know what's good, what's not. A lot of these supplement manufacturers are fly by night. Okay, so when you break it down, there are two categories you need to look at. There are what they call food-grade supplements, and there are pharmaceutical-grade supplements. Now, pharmaceutical-grade has nothing to do with pharmaceutical companies. That's what a lot of people think when I mention that word. Food-grade supplements are not regulated. In other words, say you go buy vitamin C, and it says 1,000 milligrams on the label. If you were to have that tested by a third-party lab, there may only be 400 or 500 milligrams of vitamin C in there. So you're not getting the proper dosage, and you may be getting substandard products in there. So you're not getting the highest quality or potency of that nutrient. Now, if you're buying a pharmaceutical-grade supplement, if it says vitamin C and it says 1,000 milligrams, you're getting 1,000 milligrams, the highest purity, the highest potency. Also, with these cheap food-grade supplements, many of them are using cheap binders, cheap fillers.
What are binders? You got to tell me what a binder is.
Basically,
because we don't know the difference between a binder.
Something that is binding the capsule or the tablet together.
Okay.
Okay, so a lot of times when you when you take a supplement, it should break apart in your stomach with your enzymes.
Okay.
So some of these inferior products, they're not going to be able to digest. So it's just going in one end, out the other. Plus, they're using substandard products. So, for instance, Centrum has been proven multiple times to be a very substandard product. Matter of fact, they're using an inferior form of copper in here, which is leading to forms of dementia, such as Alzheimer's. And you got to trace the money back too. Who owns Centrum? If you trace it back, a pharmaceutical company owns it. So you got to support the good guys. In other words, you know, do your homework on people who are selling pharmaceutical grade supplements, who's actually concerned about your health care, and support them.
Now, Mark, listen to this. I go out to Dr. Mason's office.
Yeah.
And, oh, no, I'm reading Facebook one night. And
that's your first mistake.
Right. No, this was a good thing.
It was a good thing. Okay.
And I found out that the supplements that Dr. Mason actually talks about, he's talking about Defense Forte and some others, he actually formulated himself.
Okay.
So I've been taking these vitamins and these supplements for a little while now.
Yeah.
And, you know, it has a name. It says Mason Wellness on it. And, you know, he handed me the bottle, and I honestly have to say I never read the bottle.
Okay.
I just take them.
The print's too small to read.
Yeah.
And so I go out to his office and I say, you know, hey, this is yours? He said, yeah, I did this. And so I'm finding out that like Defense Forte is a supplement that you take to defend yourself from cold and your immune system. So it makes it stronger.
That sounds like a good thing.
That's what I'm saying.
Wow,
but I didn't know. But it was his.
Oh,
so it's
okay.
Not like, you know, he went and took Centric and put his name on it.
Right.
Oh.
Yeah, so,
Frame House,
you know,
Gallery.
What'd you say?
Defense Forte is a drugless prescription that I designed that has therapeutic dosages of things such as garlic and astragalus root and Korean ginseng and zinc. And all these things work in harmony together, and it acts as a natural antibiotic, so it's antiviral, it's antibacterial, it's antifungal. So oftentimes I use this for myself and for my family, and I recommend it to my patients. So for people who have a weak immune system, they can take it on a daily basis. Or at the first signs of you getting a cold or a flu or some kind of upper respiratory infection coming on, I recommend that you take like 2 capsules every 2 hours. This would be for adults, along with the C1000 with bioflavonoids. I mean, this does a phenomenal job at usually, you know, really activating your immune system so you don't get sick, or if you do, it greatly shortens the duration of that.
Okay, this is your product then that you've
mm-hmm.
developed? Wow.
Yes.
And where is it available?
Yes, you got to call him.
You got to call him.
I'll go to the website.
I mean, I can't go to
you can go to my website, masonwellness.com, or you can stop in the office, but no, it's not at Walmart, and it's not at GNC or anything like that.
Okay.
Right.
That sounds good.
Wait a minute.
I like that.
And so I haven't had a cold. My sinuses have really been, they haven't acted real crazy yet.
Yeah.
And I'm doing really good. I had no idea he formulated it.
That's great. That's a good story.
You
didn't,
I
didn't know that. That's
I
great.
Didn't know
other
that.
People do
yeah,
that.
I've been
that's
with you
terrific.
For almost a year wow. now, and you're like, I didn't even know that. So we got a lot of work.
We got a lot of catching
yeah,
up to
we?
Do.
You've got to get a promo guide to tell folks that you did
know.
That.
That's what I'm saying. I had no idea.
That's, you're a promo person. You need to do that. You got to go get his stuff out.
I'm working on it. Hey, guys, your mics are on. The number is 347-945-5229. Alex, Alabama, 518. I think that's Rick. And Diva, your mics are on. And we're talking with Dr. Matt Mason from Mason Wellness. What's the phone number for them to call you?
330-219-6250.
The website?
And the website?
MasonWellness.com.
MasonWellness.com. And I will say there are some supplements out there. We're going to go through a couple of them within the next hour, because I want to break some of them down, because some of them you need to it's the winter months.
Right.
I don't want to get sick. My wife is homesick.
Right.
I don't want to get sick.
So what do I do? How do I learn this? How do I keep myself to where my immune system fights for me effectively? That I stay healthy, because I don't like being sick. When I'm sick, I'm down, and when I'm down, I'm dysfunctional completely.
And I'm not a good sick person. I'm a terrible sick person.
I'm a bad sick person. I just crash and burn. It's bad, you know.
All guys are big babies when they get.
I'm not a guy.
You know, I know that. You're supposed to take care of us.
I don't have anybody to take care of, so you know, it's all about me. Hey, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. If you want to call me locally, you can. That number is 330-781-9600. We'll see you on the other side of my break.
About a great doctor, Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com. I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one. All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Fit Family. Unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown.
call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamilyone.com. That's fitfamilyone.com.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
We're back with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM, 347-945-5229, or toll-free 1-800-530-WSOM, online at tracyandfriends.com, or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229, and it's 32 minutes after the hour of 2 o'clock here on WSOM, and Doc Mason's in studio with me today is Second Thursday, and it's always good to have him. And I'm finding out, I mean, I try to bring the best people in to do what's necessary, and Dr. Mason is someone that I would recommend to anyone about chiropractic health and health and wellness in general. And I would recommend for those of you who are listening, if you are looking for someone you're looking for a better health, a better quality of life, if you have chiropractic needs, but you just want to be healthy overall and you want to get an assessment, I've not found a physician that took the time out, and not because it's just me, but to assess my needs so that we could find out what was at the root of it to try to cure it.
Yeah.
That does a lot.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to be a diabetic. I don't want to have hypertension. Everybody knows I've been diagnosed with MS. I don't want to have lapses. And so whatever I can do to benefit my quality of life so that I can live longer and have a good – I don't want to live long and be sick. That's just crazy to me.
Exactly. You know, you know, what's amazing is that once you measure someone's chemistry, because we talked about how everyone has a unique biochemical chemistry. Everyone's different as far as your nutritional requirements. Tracy, you and I spoke on this in depth about schizophrenics, where they required pharmacological doses of certain vitamins like niacin and B12 and folate and zinc. Now, these were schizophrenics and bipolar patients that were institutionalized. They were so heavily medicated that they couldn't function. They couldn't be function in life. They couldn't hold a job. Many of them couldn't drive. So they did this functional medicine assessment, this same type of testing that I do, measured them on the cell level, found out what their body needed genetically as far as nutrients. And they were able to either greatly decrease the need for their medications or get them off their medications completely. I mean, this is something that should be shouted from the mountaintop.
Sure.
And be heard on every radio and on every newscast. But we are so drug and surgery oriented. And so, you know, we need to start looking, whether it's mental problems, you know, I'm not saying that there's never a need for medications. But whether it's mental problems, rheumatoid arthritis, lupus, cancer, heart disease, we need to start measuring people, measuring their nutritional status. Because we know, it's been known for decades, that the major cause of disease is due to nutritional deficiencies, and toxicities.
Yeah, I don't know if I've told you, Tracy, or I've mentioned this before, but when I was 18, 19 years old, I was diagnosed as being bipolar. And they treated me for 35 years of medication, and nothing worked. And I was severe. I mean, I would have mammoth swings. And when a couple of psychiatrists, they give me medication, a couple of psychiatrists give medication, that it didn't work. About 11 or 12 years ago, maybe 13 years ago, I thought I had another bottle of pills, and I didn't. And the psychiatrist that I was seeing was in Europe. And I needed a prescription. I didn't want to go off of these things cold turkey until he came back. So I talked with my brother, and he said to me, go try some St. John's wort. And I said, well, I've read about it, and probably it's not going to do blah, blah, blah. And he says, I know, but it's better than nothing. Give it a try. So I went and I got a bottle of it. I took one pill, and by that night all my symptoms had gone. Now, I know it's not supposed to work that way because St. John's wort isn't that, and I knew, you know, from what I read, it was supposed to work that way. So I went to my general practitioner, and I said, you know what, this is what happened. I mean, my skin was tingling, my scalp was tingling, my face was burning when I took it the first time. Long story short, I went off of that. They did some tests. It wasn't bipolar disease at all. I have been treated for 35 years, and it wasn't bipolar disease. It was a chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
So I eliminated chocolate out of the diet. And I have been symptom-free for 11, 12 years.
Yeah.
Oh
my God. You're exactly right. And that's why I speak on a daily basis. You know, as I was speaking with Tracy, there is a direct correlation between food and mood. In other words, what you put in your mouth, can it affect your brain chemistry? Can it cause you to have brain fog or panic or anxiety or bipolar or schizophrenic conditions? You know, I mean, most people, you talk to them this way, you know, whether it's from the general lay public or from a physician, they're going to look at you like you're landed from Mars.
Yeah.
But it's not me talking out the side of my mouth. There's well-researched documentation on this.
Yeah, I do some speaking for the Mahoning Valley Lawyers Assistance Committee, and I'm on that committee because of that experience that I had, and I work with folks who, you know, I always say, go to your doctor, get your medication, but go see somebody like Matt to get a look at your physiology first and take a look at what's going on, because there may be a very simple solution that you don't know about or you need to do in conjunction with the other stuff. And, nutrition is very, very, very important. Now, I can have a little bit of chocolate today. I can eat a Hershey bar, for example. It won't bother me. But there's a certain one of the candy companies in town. I can't touch their candy.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever's in that chocolate, I know from experience I don't eat. So, you know, moderation's fine, but it was really good to know. And I'm really angry that for all those years, I was, you know, really sick.
Yeah.
and taking medication that is absolutely no good. That's just
right.
No way to live.
Right.
It's funny because what you're saying is true. And when I went to see Dr. Mason, he didn't say stop taking your medication for MS. But the goal is I want to be able to go back into my physician at the Cleveland Clinic, and I want them to ask me, what have you been doing? Because your levels are not where they were.
Right.
That's the goal.
Yeah.
Or if you're a diabetic, you want to go back in and you want your physician to say, listen, something is your pancreas, your sugar is elevated or regulating and on its own, and we're going to decrease your insulin or decrease your medication because whatever you're doing is working, or when you're losing weight and your habits are changing your quality of life now that for the better.
Right.
And that's what, you know, I think what health and wellness is all about.
Exactly. And, you know, what's interesting is, you know, I was going to mention earlier, is that food, nutrients, and even exercise, food, nutrient, and exercise communicates with our genes.
Yeah.
That's what allows your genes to express either health or for sickness. So some people may have the, you know, the obesity gene. I think they're still spending millions of dollars looking for the obesity gene.
They are.
Give you a break.
They
but, are. You know, so you could turn that gene on. It's through a whole study of what we call epigenetics. So the gene has what they call an epigenome, which is a switch. That switch either gets flipped on for health or sickness depending on the environment that you live in. You know, in other words, there's certain, there's like blue zones where people seem to have more vibrant health, and then there's more dark zones where people don't have such good health because maybe, you know, electromagnetic waves and everything and high tension wires, different toxicity that's in the air and in the water and so on.
That's great. It's great to know that somebody like Matt's around here, because I wish I would have known this a long time ago.
It's never too late.
It's sort of falling onto it by mistake. But these different approaches to medicine, whether it's chiropractic or chemistry analysis and getting your balance and your body in balance, I'm a firm believer 100%. And you know, I had back pain for 10 years. I suffered with back pain. Horrible pain. Almost debilitating. There's times I couldn't walk. There's times I couldn't get out of bed. The massotherapist took care of it.
I'm not supplementing my diet. What do I do? I come to you, so my diet's now fully supplemented.
All right. I look at it two different ways. You know, if you're coming to my office and you're like, you know, I've been sick for 2 years, 3 years, 10 years, whatever it's going to be. I've tried everything from A to Z. I've taken all these different supplements. I've done self-help. You know, I'm a big advocate of self-help, you know. But if you've done all those things and you're still sick, well, if I'm just going to recommend a handful of nutrients to you, that's probably not going to cut the mustard. It's probably not going to work. Now, there are some people that come in, they're like, you know, I just got mild fatigue, or, you know, I just need feel like I'm perked up a little bit, or what's some prevention things I could do? Well, then I could definitely recommend, you know, some key nutrients that's based on your nutritional assessment questionnaire. That way we're kind of evaluating your overall systems of your body of where some weak areas are, and then we focus on supporting those areas. But if you want to speak on, go ahead.
Well, hey Tracy, I didn't mean to interrupt. You sure you the Dr. Mason was in the middle? I thought he had stopped. But anyhow, I want to ask you, Dr. Mason, about you're starting to see, or at least here in Florida, that's where I am in Orlando, you're starting to see a lot of advertisement for, they're saying, well, you know, they're marketing to people, you know, pretty much 30 and up, and they're like, are you, you know, starting to gain weight and feel sluggish and blah, 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 you have mental fog, like you were just saying, and a lot of them are pushing or advertising testosterone.
Okay.
Yeah, like low T, yeah. And so, I mean, is that legitimate? Do you think that some people are, like, they're pushing that prematurely? Or is that, like, legitimate in some cases where some people – is it possible that some people may not have a nutritional deficiency and it really is low T? Have you seen that before? And I'm just curious, you know.
Well, there's a small percentage of people who from birth – through genetics where they don't produce sufficient amounts of testosterone and they have growth and other problems. But with that off to the side, you know, I personally think they're pushing low testosterone way too much. I mean, because, you know, without getting too in-depth in it because of the time constraints today, when you become nutritionally deficient and when you get the improper imbalance of your fatty acids, of the omega-3s and omega-6 and omega-9 and things, what we call phosphatidylcholine, and the 8 different forms of vitamin E's, tocopherols, tocotrienols, so on. That's very important for the cell membrane. So the cell membrane is what has receptors on it, so to speak, like a ball glove, like a catcher's mitt. And those receptors are what allows the hormone, like testosterone, to come and attach to that cell. So in other words, if that cell membrane isn't healthy because you don't have those specific nutrients to keep those receptors healthy, that receptor deforms. So it's like a broken lock and key. That key can no longer fit. That testosterone hormone can no longer attach to the cell to allow it to function. So the problem is nutritional deficiencies and poor diet. It's not because people are low in testosterone.
Really?
Right. Now, I'm a proponent of, you know, anti-aging where, you know, people are 70 or 80 years old. As you age, your hormones do decline, just like women go through menopause, go through a change of life. By the way, men go through menopause, too. It's actually called andropause, where their hormones decline. And I know a lot of people don't want to hear that.
We'll talk about that.
But anyway, you know, so as your hormones decline with age, I don't see anything wrong with using bioidentical, biocompatible testosterone and other nutrients to get your levels up to more of a normal level. So you may be 80 years old chronologically, but physiologically you might be able to get your body 65. That's anti-aging medicine to me.
How do you like that one, Mark?
I'm going to be 64 in January. Maybe I should start taking it now to keep it.
Pretty cool, ain't it?
I'm the old man in the room here.
Yeah, Mark. Yeah, you got us beat. Just by a little bit. Just by a little bit. It's, you know, see what it is. Matt's not aging because he's been taking these for a lot longer.
He's actually 82. You'd never know it.
Right. He's been hiding it. Yeah. Alex, did he answer your question?
Yeah, he did.
Did you have a follow up?
No. That was it.
I just had an email question. Versus whole food supplements versus isolated. Taking either whole food supplement versus taking an isolated vitamin.
Okay.
Now, a whole food supplement is basically where you're taking a whole food, concentrating it into, like, say, a capsule form.
Explain
so,
that to me a little bit.
For lack of a better term, like, say, you take an apple.
Okay.
You take that apple and you pulverize it and you dehydrate it and you put it in a capsule form. That's a whole food supplement. So in other words, you're getting the vitamins and the minerals and the enzymes and amino acids and everything what that apple has. But you're getting very small amounts of the nutrients that's in that capsule. So, you know, that brings to mind, I had a patient by the name of Angie that came in a few years ago from East Liverpool, and she was, like I said, energy level was 2 out of 10, migraine headaches, digestive upsets, low sex drive, you name it. And she'd been sick for like 5 years. And for the past 2 years, she transitioned to eating all organic foods. She was eating healthy, drinking lots of water, trying to exercise, but her energy level wouldn't allow her to do it. But her philosophy was she was only going to supplement her diet with whole food supplements. So when we talk about whole foods, my opinion is, why don't you just eat the whole food and then supplement your diet with things that are missing? In other words, some people will say, well, I'm going to take brewer's yeast so I can get my source of B-complex vitamins. Well, when you look at the label of brewer's yeast, it might say 0.600 micrograms of thiamine, which is vitamin B1. And that's a very small infinitesimal amount. I mean, that's not even 1 milligram. So that might be a perfect amount for some people. But what if you have panic or anxiety or personality changes or numbness or weakness or tingling? That person is going to need much higher therapeutic dosages, and you're not going to be able to fix that through taking whole food supplements. That's why if someone is in that boat, you have to do this type of nutritional testing to see what they need therapeutically to get their body back into balance. Otherwise, they're going to remain sick. You know, some people who have cravings of drugs and alcohol,
yeah,
we know through research that they need higher pharmacological amounts of B vitamins. And once they get those higher amounts, they don't have those nowhere near the cravings or any cravings for those. So eat the whole foods, but don't supplement your food with whole foods.
I got to ask you about juicing because you brought in whole foods, and you know, there, mm-hmm. if right now if you watch in the morning, you got exercise programs that come with a blender, and it comes with a nutritional supplements, and everybody's doing the juicing. They're juicing everything. Everything is. Are we? Because I think, and maybe I'm wrong, it's not sustainable. I've had a juicer for a very, very long time. My juicer I didn't like because it was too hard to clean. So I never used it. We have new juicers now. Instead of straining the juice, now the juice, we just cut up the everything. Everything that's on the potato, everything goes in there. It pulverizes it, and it's juiced up. Where do we go with this? Do we juice or do we not juice? Do we go? What do we do with all this? Because people are really trying to – it's Christmas time, and we're going to be buying juicers, and we're going to get our New Year's – next month when you come, we're going to talk about the New Year coming in because we got resolutions. Get ready to start coming up. We're going to start doing it all over again. It's the truth. Am I lying?
No, you're not lying. I'm just thinking about what I want to supplement my
juice
with.
This is going to be the year of the health and wellness. It's going to be the year – okay, I've lost 5 pounds this year, just so that you guys know. I don't think I've lost any more. Maybe a little bit more, but, you know –
That's good.
But not to my goal. My goal was more than that, and I didn't do all – I was supposed to go to the gym every day of the week. I go to the gym one day a week, and some days I miss that because of whatever.
Well, that's because you're working, you know.
People don't understand that. They think I'm joking.
Yeah, you got to work.
They think I'm joking when I say I'm working. And so when we talk about juicing, and everybody wants to juice, and they want to – what are we doing?
Juicing is a very beneficial thing to do. I've been doing it for the past probably 15 years.
You juice?
Yeah. So when you juice, when you get those nutrients, those live nutrients and enzymes and vitamins and minerals from juicing, that is bypassing your digestive system. In other words, your stomach doesn't have to digest and absorb it. It's going directly in your bloodstream, directly into the cell right now. I mean, that's very healthy to do. Very healthy. You know, there's Gerson Cancer Therapy program that is very beneficial. They rely heavily on juicing and detoxifying the body, and by using enzymes, sort of the same thing that I practice and promote on a daily basis. So juicing is very good. Also, a lot of people are fiber deficient because they're eating processed foods. So you want to be obviously eating raw fruits, raw vegetables, nuts, seeds, beans, organic meats. If you have the blender and you go to blend up berries or your vegetables or what have that, that's a good thing to do too because you're getting the pulp, you're getting the fiber in there. Most of the time, like I said, if I'm going to choose between the two, I'm going to juice and then I get my fiber from actually eating whole foods.
So juicing is good.
Absolutely. And the new blenders clean up very quickly and very efficiently now compared to the older ones.
So, like carrots, you just throw a whole clean carrot in there and watch it just pulverize and you just eat everything and all, right?
Yeah, if that's what you want to do.
Or
juice it. What do you want to do? You want to juice it or blend it?
Is there a difference?
Yeah. Yeah, a blender,
you know,
a blender is just going to blend it up. But a juicer is separating the pulp from the juice.
There's a difference. Did you know there was a difference?
Well, you need fiber. You get the fiber from the pulp.
I didn't know. I didn't know there was a difference between a blender and a juicer.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
What do I know?
Well, you get everything ground up and whatnot. That's kind of, I like juice, but, you know, it's.
Hey,
my
problem
is it's what I put in the juice.
Yes, yeah, I have a question for the guest. I just popped back on. I walked away for a while. I heard for a second you guys were talking about juicing. And there's this place called Robex I go to. They serve, like, oranges, and it's real orange, wheatgrass, real strawberries, real fruits, oranges, all types of different stuff. is that just like juicing? Because it's the actual, you know, bulk of, it's not like going and getting one of those little compote smoothies, but it's a real smoothie. It costs about $7, but it's worth it to me because it tastes great. But
is it
similar?
A powder or is something that someone has juiced?
No, it's the real, they got real oranges, real, you could print in real oranges and, you know, that store-bought stuff. But I'm talking about it's like real oranges, real, now they have some, they put yogurt in there, non-fat, organic yogurt.
But that's a smoothie, isn't it?
Yeah, it's called Robex, R-O-B-E-K-S. But I swear, but I try to get one a day if I can. I mean, I love it. It's delicious. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I skip lunch and get them to put a little oatmeal in there. But, I mean, it's great.
Yeah, sounds good.
So your, let me ask this, smoothies, yes or no?
Sure.
Real fast.
Yeah.
Smoothies, any special smoothies?
Whatever floats your boat. You just want to be using healthy foods. That's all.
Juicing?
Juicing, absolutely.
Blending?
Blending, yeah.
Yeah, all that good stuff.
Okay, just check it.
I'd like to try it. I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to experiment with it like to find out
too.
What goes together
I
with
am too.
Good stuff.
I'm not going to use the same juicer. I got to go get a juicer.
Yeah, but you got to be careful with the smoothies. You don't want where you're going to pour it sugar or you know. Cream,
right. But they come in. Smoothies have just as many calories as pop.
Yeah, but you're getting healthy calories.
There's a difference right. between healthy calories and non-healthy calories.
Booze or unhealthy calories.
Right.
Oh.
Smoothies, good calories.
Hey, let's for the last few minutes. Let's talk about a couple highly recommended nutrients that will keep you healthy during the winter season.
Okay, give your website out first.
MasonWellness.com.
Okay. And phone number?
330-219-6250.
Okay.
First one is vitamin D. Okay, vitamin D, nine out of 10 people that walk through my door are severely deficient in vitamin D. We know through research upon research that once you optimize your vitamin D level, many of these cancers, you decrease your risk of cancer by 50%. That's
oh,
huge.
Geez. Wow.
That's just by optimizing your vitamin D level.
Yeah.
So we also know that vitamin D deficiency is hugely linked to the flu. So there's your flu medication right there. Most adults can safely take between 5,000 to 10,000 units of vitamin D a day. It's also important to get your vitamin D level checked. Your standard conventional medical model is going to tell you you want it around 30. That's an antiquated number. You really want it between 70 and 90. Very, very beneficial. So you want to supplement with vitamin D3, not D2, anywhere between 5,000 to 10,000 a day for an adult. Also, I highly recommend the Super Immune Forte, which doubles as enhancing your immune system, acts as a multivitamin, multi-mineral, while certain key nutrients in it to stimulate your immune system. And again, for people who feel like a cold is coming on, or the flu, you want to use the Defense Forte. Take two capsules every 2 hours, along with the C1000 with bioflavonoids.
And
that is a wonder.
Where do I get these from?
Either from my office or from MasonWellness.com.
Okay. So listen, go on the website, and there is a checkout there.
Go to the checkout, and you go under
give,
Custom Formulations, and you'll find all them there.
And give the names out again.
Defense Forte. C1000, Super Immune Forte, and the Super D3.
And you heard that here on Tracy and Friends, here on WSOM AM 600. We're at the end of the day. We'll see you tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to be open mic. We're going to talk about JFK tomorrow, probably. We're going to talk about the Obamacare.
What is this?
Those are not mine.
Oh, he found the stash.
I knew I smelled something.
Those are not mine. Those are not even my.
I know, because they're not on your side.
These are mine. I'll see you guys on tomorrow. God bless.
You've been listening to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from noon to 3 on Newstalk 600. Visit our website for more about Tracy and Friends at www.tracyandfriends.com. That's TRACEY and friends.com. Tune in tomorrow at noon for the next edition of Afternoons with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren, the home for everyone.